One of the most exciting things about being Catholic is there's so many ways to receive the Holy Spirit. The Catholic Church is so unique with seven sacraments Christ gave us. In baptism, we are reborn in the Spirit. And baptism incorporates us into Christ and forms us into God's people. In confirmation, it makes us more completely the image of our Lord and fills us with the Holy Spirit. And in the Eucharist, we eat the flesh of Jesus and drink his blood so that we will have eternal life. These three sacraments of initiation enable us to carry out our mission to be faithful followers of Christ and to continue his work in the world. And in the Catholic Church, there's so many devotions, so many rituals in Scripture and novenas and the Church as a teaching authority where we as Catholics find the Spirit. Our Catholic Church is so rich in tradition. Knowing that the Roman Catholic Church is the true church, the church dating back to Jesus Christ, knowing all of this, and I've been guilty of it, we sometimes can look down or judge our other Christian brothers and sisters of other faiths. I received this aha moment on July 1st, 2009. That opened up my eyes, that someone doesn't have to find the Spirit the same way I do, and that the Spirit dwells in our Protestant brothers and sisters. We were taught in formation to be a deacon that Protestant baptisms that use the Trinitarian formula is valid, and they receive the same Spirit we Catholics do. But on this day, it really hit home. That day, I got a call from my sister, and she said our mother was in the hospital, and she was very, very ill. My wife and I, we grabbed the kids and hopped in the car and raced to Clear Lake City, south of Houston. It was such a long drive in traffic in Houston. My mind racing for that four-hour drive. When we got to the hospital, we hurried to my mother's room. And when we entered the room, my mother's body lay lifeless in the hospital bed. She died before we got there. It was hard for all of us not being able to say goodbye. Needless to say, it was an overwhelming experience, filled with much sorrow. But where I found the Spirit that day was in a place and in someone I would have never expected. It was in the elevator, coming down from the fifth floor. And it wasn't from a priest or deacon. It was from a woman. She seemed like she was from a gospel evangelical church. I never got her name. There were many of my family members going down that elevator with me. And she turned to me and said, "The Spirit wants me to pray over you. May I?" And I said, "Yes." And she had this wonderful, spontaneous, and comforting prayer that somehow expressed my experience that day. And it ended with the words my mother would have said to me, "You don't have to be the strong one this time." It was a moment of grace. It was a moment where the Spirit was shared between two people that have different beliefs, yet both believing in the same Christ, in the same God. With this in mind, we approach the scripture readings today. Reading's perfect for speaking about relationships. Relationships among all churches that follow Jesus Christ. In our first reading from Numbers, we find that Moses gathered a select few to pour the Spirit on the entire community. As the 70 people were called together, someone noticed two were missing, Eldad and Medad. They were outside the tent. The ritual was performed inside the tent, and in the ritual, God pours the grace Moses received into those present, and they began to prophesy. And then someone notices that the two that were missing mysteriously received the Spirit. And this was pointed out to Joshua. He was Moses' aide. Joshua comes to Moses and tells him, the two should be stopped because Eldad and Medad weren't part of the ritual. I love Moses' response. In today's words, his response, why would you worry about someone having to be part of the ritual to be able to speak the truth? Why should we concern how it happened? Just be overjoyed that it happened. I love this scripture verse because it frees us from the narrow understanding of how the Spirit and grace works. Grace does not come from within us. We can't manufacture it with what we do or don't do. Grace is a gift from God. And we, like that evangelical woman who prayed over me, we have to be in a disposition of cooperating with the flow of grace, the flow of life. We should not discount someone or judge someone because they received the Spirit differently than we did, or that they're not part of our group. And with that said, the challenge is for us to be authentic and completely Roman Catholic and also have respect and love for all those who follow the teachings of Jesus Christ and are not Roman Catholic. In our Gospels, the disciples fell in the same trap as Joshua did in the first reading. And John, you could just picture his face. You can just feel maybe he's out of breath trying to run to Jesus and saying, hey, Jesus, there's a guy out there. He's driving out demons in your name. We've got to stop him. He's not part of our group. And Jesus' response, don't stop him. Whoever is not against us is for us. In effect, he is saying, don't stop the Spirit from working through him. He's doing the work we are all called to do. And that, brothers and sisters, are what we are called to do. Be channels of God's grace and channels of the Spirit and do the Lord's work. In our gospel, Jesus does not mean literally for us to pluck our eye out if it causes us to sin, or cut our foot or hand off because it causes us to sin. St. Teresa of Avila tells us, we are Christ's body here on earth. Our hands are his hands. Our feet are his feet, doing his work. And our eyes are his eyes to show compassion to the world.